Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Drew B. Wilson, who I'm actually really excited to talk to. He's got a really interesting take, and it's close to my heart because it has to do with t-shirts. And if you've known me for a long time, I got my start in SEO thanks to John Henshaw and Raven Tools, and he gave me a t-shirt that had this awesome, I'm surprised I'm not wearing it, I still have it, had just said Raven on it. And I didn't even know what SEO really was. I was working at a call center and get this awesome t-shirt, and it leads me down this rabbit hole where now I'm doing podcasts, talking to SEOers of all types and sizes, experiences, 17, 18 years in the SEO industry. So, Drew B., give yourself an introduction. Tell people what you're all about.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeremy. First and foremost, my name is Drew B. Wilson. I am a self-proclaimed meme lord, so much so that I tattooed across my knuckles, kind of like an idiot. But I am, for all intents and purposes, I am in the sales and marketing space. I grew up in the streets selling anything and everything I could get my hands on. As I got older, met a beautiful young lady. She eventually became my wife. We had a son, and I realized, hey, the fast money don't last, so I should probably get into some more legitimate sales. I have sold insurance, tobacco and cigars, furniture, retail, all sorts of different things, marketing. So I have sold pretty much anything and everything that you can think of, and or worked with someone who has sold that sort of product and service. And the biggest thing that I've learned is really just leaning in on a service-based sales mentality, because I love to help people. And I know when you help enough people get what they want, eventually you end up getting with what you want. I think that's a Zig Ziglar quote. I might have butchered it a little bit. But that's my game, man. I own a company named Call the Damn Leads, because when I owned my own marketing company, I was really great at getting people leads, but they weren't so great at picking up the phone and calling them. And so I would over and over be having this conversation of, hey, just call the damn leads. Just call the damn leads. And I remember telling some friends of mine, man, I'm just going to put that on a t-shirt someday and sell it to every marketer on the planet, because we all have the same conversation with our prospects and our clients. And here we are about 4 to 5 years after that conversation. Call the Damn Leads is a full-blown e-commerce business. We have hats, keychains, wristbands, t-shirts, and we also do a bit of sales coaching and mentorship on the side of that as well.
I have said Call the Damn Leads after working with an asphalt guy, and I knew that I generated, you know, X number of leads off of the site. I'm like, what came out of it? Nothing. Like, did you follow up on that lead? Like, it was even a revenue share partnership. So I'm like, I got a little meat on this, but like, I referred him to another friend of mine. I'm like, hey, did you get a quote back from Jack? Nothing. Like, you're making me look bad. Can you call the damn lead? I don't understand. I think I saw there was a use case study. Somebody in the service SEO space did 4 or 5 years ago, where they took 100 sites and submitted the contact form on the site. And it was something like only 1% got a call back that day, and only 10% got any callback at all. So it is absolutely ridiculous the amount of money that small businesses, particularly service businesses, I'm gonna hit out where it hurts, because small business owners seem to be the absolute worst, the most hungry for leads. When you talk to them about marketing, they're like, I need leads all day. You know, your SEO program needs to show ROI and needs to turn over. But you actually look at the stats of how long did it take for you to get back? How many emails did you send back? What was your process? It's a disaster.
It's funny, because I had one client in particular. So when I came from the insurance world, I was making, I don't know, $3,000-$4,000 a month after commissions, which to me at the time as a young man was like fantastic, because I grew up in the era of, hey, if you barely graduated and you don't have a whole lot going for yourself, you're going to make $10 an hour doing grunt labor. So, like, yeah, you know, that's $1,500, $1,600 a month maximum, and then they take taxes. So it's not a lot of money. So to be making $4,000 or $5,000 in a month selling insurance at the time was fantastic. But I realized, like, hey, man, I want to make six figures, right? That, as a sales guy, that's always kind of that first number. It's like, hey, how do I make six figures? And I went to my boss, and I'm like, hey, man, what do I got to do to make more money? Like, I'm always winning these awards. We're the number one agency in the area. Like, what am I missing? He's like, you just need to be patient. Someday, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, it'll be your name on the door, and you'll be doing well. And all I could think was, like, I don't want to wait that long. So I went online. I started learning marketing. You know, at the time, everybody was using WooFoo pages and Facebook advertising. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to figure this out. So I did. And I started generating my own leads, and I started making more sales and making more money. And I was like, this is awesome. I was like, I'm making more money doing this than I am, you know, selling insurance. But I had one client in particular. He was a real estate agent. He had a condo that he was trying to sell. So we created an ad. We ran some marketing. I don't remember how much we spent. It wasn't a lot of money, but we generated him 100 leads through the specific form for this condo. And he calls me like 2 weeks into the month, and he's going, hey, man, this isn't working. I'm going to need a refund. And I was like, well, hey, man, I'm looking at the stats, and I can see we've got, you know, I think at the time it was like 60, 70 leads, whatever it was. And he's like, yeah, these leads are shit. And I was like, well, that's strange. Did you call them, text them, email them? Like, what was the process? Well, I called most of them. They didn't answer. And I was like, well, let me look into this a little bit. So I go into the lead form, and I'm looking at all the leads. I just picked up my phone and started calling. In an hour's time, I set six appointments for people that wanted to go look at the property and got one investor who sent me a cash offer as is, signed, ready to go on that specific unit. And so I called the guy back and I was like, dude, I don't know what you're doing over there, but you're certainly not calling the damn leads. Here's all this information. Here's all these people that want to actually go look at this thing. Like, please don't ever call me again, though. Like, at the end of this, we're not going to be working together anymore. And that was like right around that same time. I was like, guys, I'm just going to put call the damn leads on a shirt and send it to this dude. Cause like, what are these people doing? And it's exactly like you said. I mean, there's been times where I've called service businesses when we were selling our house in Ohio before moving to Texas. I called multiple concrete and basement businesses because there was some cracks in our foundation. And I'm like, hey, I want to get an estimate so that if the people that look at our house do have, you know, some concerns, I kind of know what I'm looking at. Like you said, I probably called a dozen people in our area. Not one of them answered the phone, and I think only one of them ever even called back, like a week after we had already sold the house. And I was like, what are you guys doing?
I'm curious, from now that you're like in that hybrid position, not just doing sales, but like in that marketing side too, there is a bit of responsibility on the marketing side of developing the right type of lead, or being more effective at reaching the particular audience that's actually going to be ready to make a purchase. So, like, I see a bifurcation of that responsibility. Yes, I would love to encourage. I think having that conversation as an SEO, having the forethought or the thought process to connect yourself more broadly into the organization to understand, like, hey, I'm not going to just focus on does this page rank. I'm not going to focus on how many people came to this page. I'm not even going to focus on how many people filled out the form. I'm going to focus in on, at the end of the day, is the service associated with this page, with this site, actually growing or declining? And that connects through the CRM, that connects in the follow through, that connects in understanding, can I help set up a drip campaign? Can I help set up a remarketing campaign that's associated with it, or check in with the marketing teams that they have that claim that they've set that up? Is there a misconfiguration in the pixel? Does it just go to a black hole, or is there only one receptionist who's there from like 9 to 12, then she's got a 2-hour lunch break, and then she's back from 1 to 3, and she might give a call back? Like, you got to understand, like, what is the, or is it one guy who's on the site who's leaving the asphalt project himself is the only person, he doesn't allow anybody else to make the quotes, He's got the secret formula in his head, how much it costs his business, and he's been doing it since forever, and he won't give it up. Like, what does that conversion process actually look like?
That's so important. And you know, coming from the insurance world, I remember we would pay $25 to $50 a lead, and we'd call them, and they'd be like, well, I filled out a form for a gift card or a whatever. And it was like, so you're not actually interested in insurance? No, I just want the gift card. And it's like, okay. And as I started leaning in on the marketing side, because I know that message that someone sees first, right? That first interaction, that first impression that they have of you, that's not just important in the real world. That's also important in your marketing plan. Because if you're promising something on the front end that has absolutely nothing to do with what the actual conversation or service looks like, you're setting yourself up for disaster. And so I believe sales and marketing, they have to work in cohesion. And these days, I've had to learn this lesson the hard way, but before I would even take on a marketing client, I'm going to ask them, like, exactly what you said. What's going to if I bring you a lead today, what's going to happen with it? And 90-some percent of business owners can't give you a distinct answer. And to me, I lean in on, well, okay, cool. If a lead comes in today, that first 30 days is like A1 priority. So what's that going to look like? Well, we're going to call them day one. If they don't answer, we're going to send a text. We're going to call them day two. If they don't answer, we're going to send them an email. If we're going to call them day 3, 4, 5, day 8, day 10, 15, 21, 28, 31. Like, there's all these touch points that are really, really important there, because if someone did submit their lead information online on a form, a lot of times that lead's being sold to like multiple people at a time. So yeah, it's understandable that if you're not the first to talk to them, you have a much lower percentage chance of actually converting the deal. So yeah. I forget what the stat is, but it's like 80% of people buy from the first person they talk to. Just simply because they have a need and they're trying to buy. But after that, if someone's like overwhelmed because they're getting bombarded from all these things, then you kind of have to work that slow game and follow up on days 8 and 10 and 15, because most sales guys, they quit after 2 to 3 calls. They're like, oh, this is a shit lead. I'm not going to, you know, like, obviously they don't want what I'm selling. But the truth is, people are people. And you, the listener, have a life and you have things going on in your life. And you probably have at some point submitted your information for a thing that you were interested in and then immediately got distracted by some other thing going on around you, right? Your kid fell off the chair or whatever happens in life. Like, this is all real. So that nurturing process. So some of you have some extreme ADD. And I don't know, have you ever seen the stat that it used to be 8 to 12 touch points on average to go from absolute cold audience to someone who's really interested in working with you? That was a stat I saw a lot a few years ago. It has gone up to like 500 touch points because we're constantly being advertised to. We immediately log in. We look at social media. Every other post is a sponsored ad. Someone on there is trying to sell you some stuff. Some girl you went to high school got into an MLM, and she's constantly spamming about the new product or thing that they have, this fancy supplement. So, like, humans have developed this, I don't want to say a wall, but that's the best way to analogize it, is, like, they have this wall against sales. So they're immediately on the defensive. They immediately kind of put their guard up because they don't want to be sold something. They want to make a decision to buy. And so it's so important that as you're creating your system, process, routine, whatever you want to call it, that you're leaning in on service and nurturing, not just trying to get the deal closed. Because, I mean, honestly, bro, we can go to YouTube and learn how to create SEO, and we can go to YouTube and learn how to do sales, and we can go on YouTube and learn all of this stuff. Does it mean that we're going to get the right information? No, not necessarily, but we all are very much in a DIY, like, oh, I can figure this out, I can pull up a thing, I got instant access to information. At the end of the day, though, 99% of people can have all of the tools, all of the resources, every recipe, every ingredient, and they're still not going to do the thing that they need to do with them.
That's true. And it kind of reminds me of Reddit. You know, if you go on Reddit and you're trying to make the hard sale, 99 out of 100 subreddits will get you slapped down with 100 downvotes and some serious meme psychic damage.
Oh, they will hurt your feelings For sure.
They will hurt your feelings. But, you know, I work with my friend Michael McDougald's Right Thing Agency, and we had to figure out how to, you know, talk about toilet partitions on Reddit in a way that wouldn't get us flagged and spammed to oblivion. So we spent like a week coming up with it, and like, why are there such wide gaps? I'm like, why are there such wide gaps? And I'm like, it's poorly installed. You know, it's low quality. That's like, if you do it right and you plan it out, there shouldn't be these huge peaking gaps. So we did this whole like Reddit campaign of like, you know, three different styles of posts of like complaining about the massive gaps, and like, then you could show up and explain, well, that's because it's poorly installed. You need quality toilet partitions that aren't, you know, the measurements are totally wrong and put together by an idiot. So, you know, you have to come at it, you know, the marketing problem of participation, figure out where your people are and how they're having a conversation there. That way you're not kicking in the door and like shoving a toilet partition in their face.
Well, it's funny you would mention toilet partitions just as a random, like, side. A friend of mine's wife posted one the other day where it was a reel, and, you know, someone was walking by a room. They're like, why is it in America that every toilet in a public restroom is like this? Them gaps be gapping, and it was a lady, like, in there covering her private parts, like, looking out all terrified because there's a huge gap in the partition, right? And so that awareness, it's so fun, and that's why I love memes, because you can say so much with a meme or with a reel or something funny like that that gets people thinking, right? As you said, problem awareness. How do they become aware of the specific problem that they're facing? And then once they become aware, what steps do you want them to take next? Because not everybody needs to worry about the toilet partitions. But if you have something that gets enough attention from the public and it falls into your feed because now everybody's laughing at it, and all of a sudden you are a small business owner or you own a series of buildings, like, you're going to see that and go, wait a second, are the partitions in my toilets like too wide? Like, I guess I never would have thought about that. Because if you're not problem aware, you don't know what you don't know until you know, and then you have to make a decision.
That makes sense. So when you're doing creative work, trying to connect sales and marketing for different niches, I've found that there's a bigger challenge with like the sexy stuff of like, oh yeah, like you got a luxury resort, like you can come up with that easy. What's the thought process of connecting that sales and marketing gap with something that's not as sexy, like you're working for an internet provider or you're helping promote a CPR class?
I think you just have to lean in on the dark humor. And I know that's not everybody's vibe, but honestly, like CPR class, for example, right? It's like you can go in the, hey, what happens if your kid starts drowning? Well, you want to protect them, right? Okay, like there's a scariness to that. And also, it's a skill set that you can learn. So how do you make someone aware of the fact that they genuinely don't know how to save someone's life in an emergency? Well, if something's scary, you poke fun at it. That's like what we do as humans naturally is like, I don't know, this is kind of scary. Like,
whack him with a pool noodle. He's not breathing. Everybody's
exactly.
Get the pool noodle. I'm like,
and I think
don't know
that's
what to
the
do
thing.
With the pool.
Listen, most people don't. Like, most people don't know what to do if someone starts drowning. They don't know what to do if their kid starts choking. And so that's why, like, to me, it reminds me of those, like, the old Wiki memes or the old Wiki photos. Remember, it would be, like, some lady just smacking the crap out of a kid, and you'd be like, what is going on here? But it's like, well, I'm making you problem aware that that's not how you actually, you know, yes, you have to hit them on the back, but you're not cracking them as hard as you possibly can. Or, you know, you're not just going to toss the baby out because they're choking on it. Like, that's not how that works. So I think creating a very clear disconnect of like, hey, here's what you're obviously not supposed to do in this situation. That creates that awareness for someone in a way that's not like, hey, you're an idiot because you don't know how to save your kids. Like, no one wants to be told they're an idiot. They want to feel like, oh, shoot, this is something I should actually be thinking about here. What do I do next now? Like, you want to just spark that reminder to them internally that there's something they don't know, a curiosity gap, if you will. And that's what gets people to start actually doing more research on that specific product or service, because now all of a sudden they're curious. And the curious mind loves to learn. That's like the open loop process. That's when one of my courses is called Closing the Loop, because a lot of people don't know how to close that curiosity gap. They can get attention, but they don't know how to reel it back in and be like, okay, now that I have your attention, here's where we need to take the next steps on this process.
I think it's about that process too. It's about thinking through in the content, like, yeah, you can reach out and get as much attention, and even if you get them back to your site, not every article is going to prompt them at that point to do the thing. You need to push them a little bit further and recognize that you can't put out a 10,000 word essay for everything and that's just what you do. You know, like, you can't have the 10,000 word ultimate guide. Everybody in SEO just wants to publish an ultimate guide and that's all you got to do. Like, it's all just one thing. But that's not how our brains work. Like, that's not how we've learned. Like, you need to have links within your content to push them to the next step in the, you know, stage in the process, step in the funnel, move, you know, add the call to action. I don't know how many blog posts I've read that, like, it was just text and there was no link. I'm like, okay, well, you just, thanks for the information, bye. I guess I'll see you. I got what I wanted, I'm out.
I really like to lean on what I call microwave directions. And it's an oversimplification, but here's the deal. Humans are at a point where convenience is everything. And all of us have, at some point or another, made a microwave meal. And what does that look like? Well, we flip it over and we look at the instructions. And usually the first instruction is, take the thing out of the box, which sounds ridiculous. But if you didn't tell them, hey, you got to take the meal out of the box and poke some holes in the plastic, they would skip that part. And then they would burn their damn house down. So, like, okay, what is step one? Take it out of the box, poke holes in it, microwave for 2 minutes, pull it out of the microwave, wait 1 minute so that you don't burn yourself, which, again, sounds like a ridiculous thing to do, because who just picks up steaming hot food and puts it in their mouth? Very few people who have any sense of sort of commonness, like common sense. And yet, they still have to explain this in microwave directions. And so for me, when I think about it that way, it's like, hey, we've all burnt a microwave meal. We've all looked in the microwave and been like, what the heck happened here? And then we're asking ourselves, like, wait, did I follow the directions? Or, like, was this just a shitty meal? Like, what happened? But if you can follow those microwave directions, 95% of the time, let's just say, you end up with a result that's predictable. And that's where I think so many people mess up that process, is they're skipping over parts one and two and going right to the, all right, well, let's just build a blog post and put a whole bunch of SEO keywords in there, and then that's going to drive a ton of traffic. But the point is, hey, did you actually do the research? Are you 100% sure this is what the person is actually searching for, so that when they land on your page, there's an intent based, not like a curiosity gap of like, okay, I want to learn how to do CPR. Awesome. Take them into here's your guide on CPR. Step one, are they actually in danger? Step two, are you qualified to help them? If no, call an ambulance. Step three, open up the airway. Step four, like, right, compress the chest. Like, I'm not a CPR expert, but, like, if I'm just bulleting this out,
yeah,
people want short, quick, easy to understand instructions. And then you can go into the more in-depth side of like, okay, cool, and here's why this is important. And here's what you're going to do, and here's how it's going to play out, and what's going to happen if you do this the wrong way. Someone could die, right? Like,
right.
That's pretty clear. But here's what could happen if you do it the right way by following the directions. You could save someone's life. And that to me is where the step-by-step process gets skipped over, because a lot of people will just be like, oh, okay, we're going to just open their mouth and do this. I'm just like, okay, but is that the actual situation that's going on, or are you just making an uneducated guess at that point?
A lot of uneducated guesses come from untrustworthy sources putting out information out there. and there's so many different voices, so many different sources. So there's kind of a class of, you know, queries or searches that are like your money or your life is how Google qualifies it. Like it's not learning, you know, who was the fifth Megazord in the 13th season of Power Rangers, or, you know, how many Land Before Time movies did they actually make? Was it, you know, 20 or 35? You know, there are actual searches that are more, you know, they impact either your life quality or your money quality. So if you're, you know, doing something serious, like you're doing recovery for addicts, what are the things that resonate in digital marketing that are hallmarks of trust or trustworthiness that aren't just putting a badge that says that I'm a certificate, that I was a 2005 certified something. What is the whole shebang? What is that trust creation process look like in today's digital age?
I mean, I think, and this is where I'm really, I love watching the way Google is shifting the way that you search. And like when you search now, it's not just giving you like the top three ranked pages. Like they're in there, but usually they're under an AI summary where they've gone in and they've basically looked over those top ranking pages and they pulled a conglomerate of details to be like, okay, based on our search, here's like the most important stuff you need to know. And then it will start leaning into, hey, here's the link to this page, here's a link to this page. So to me, I think the certificates matter less than the quality of the conversation that's going on your marketing, right? You have to be very clear and distinct about who do we help, why do we help them, what are they actually going to learn here, and then what's going to happen if they actually implement the thing that they're learning. Because a lot of people, again, they want fast, they want convenient. They don't want to have to read through 10,000 words just to get to the end to say, hey, if you want to sell more stuff, you got to pick up the phone and call the damn leads. Like, that should be obvious. But again, there's so many people out there in the world that have put out this misinformation of like, oh, well, you can do this and do this and do this and do this. And like, yes, maybe those will work to a degree. But at the end of the day, someone needs to pick up the phone and have a conversation with this person. And if they're not having the conversation via phone, are they texting them? Are they emailing them? Like, what is that process for acquisition? And honestly, bro, certifications and titles and degrees and all of that means so much less now that people just want to know, are you a true expert in the subject matter? Because there's a lot of people that, you know, trusted the degrees from the doctors and trusted the, you know, the certificates from X, Y, and Z, who ended up realizing that they learned more about it by actually going and doing their own research than the doctor was ever privy to. Right? Like, cancer people are one of those guys that's like, you can go down a whole rabbit hole there. But the fact is, there are doctors that will stick to a specific box of how they treat and how they handle things. Whereas you can go on and learn, like, well, maybe if you changed your diet, or maybe if you started using this supplement, or again, there's a number of different paths you can go down, but every human is different. We all react to certain things in different ways. And so it's not just about, hey, I am, you know, you should trust me because I have this doctorate, when I barely showed up, I half-assed my way through college, and I graduated with a D-. But that doesn't matter that I don't actually know the information. I've got my certificate, so you should trust me.
And I think there's also probably, you know, like, maybe the guy is a wunderkind when he's in the room with you, but the market, like, his marketing is put up by his secretary who doesn't actually know anything about anything. You know, like, oh, Janet, go put up us a website. You know, go get us a website on the GeoCities. I saw that a few years ago. Great at heart
surgery. Is
that
still around?
Terrible at marketing. No, it's not. But I really want to bring back, like, a WordPress template that's, like could just be, like, 100% like GeoCities. Maybe I'll, like, vibe code that some weekend of just, like, a full-on GeoCities experience with a WordPress plugin. But
that'd be fun.
I think there's that, maybe that connection of, if you do have somebody who's truly experienced, then why aren't you interviewing them for content on your site? You know, I've had so many marketing conversations with the marketing manager, but the person actually like executing on the thing, they're not in that conversation. And I'm trying to get information about, okay, well, what's the next step? Like, how does metal roofing really make a difference versus these shingles that you want to push? Like, oh, well, you know, you can do your keyword research and see, you know, what are the different ways that people describe it. No, like, is it because it sounds like a beautiful sympata of rain and you like envision yourself in Georgia? Like, that's what the owner might say if you talk to him for 5 minutes. Like, just sit down and actually record a conversation with the expert and turn that into the marketing, because that's going to be resonate so much more than your, you know, 4 hours of keyword research. Not to bash on myself or bash on other SEO professionals, but we have developed this mantra of like, hey, I do SEO, so I use SEMrush and Ahrefs. I'm like, did you talk to anybody? Yeah. Did you talk to anybody?
And God love all the marketers that are out there. You know, this day and age has made becoming a marketing professional, and I'm using air quotes for you, those of you who are listening but aren't actually on, you know, watching us. But the fact is, this is a conversation I have with a lot of business owners that I consult. So they're like, well, I'm going to go hire a marketing company. And I'm like, what does that marketing company know about your business that you know they don't know? No one is going to be as passionate about the messaging and the conversation as you are, because you have 15 years of experience. You've talked to thousands of people and had to have that real heart-to-heart. The marketing company doesn't have that. You know, and they might be super niche down, and maybe to a degree they kind of understand it through experience and working with other companies like yours. But like, as you said, man, a lot of marketers, quote, are just going online and they're being like, all right, well, I can just go and use this search tool to pull up all the queries that people ask questions about, and then I can just keyword stuff a bunch of blog posts, and I'm going to drive traffic and make this guy rich. But at the end of the day, is it the right message in front of the right person at the right time? And a lot of times it's not.
Amen. So,
mic drop.
Rounding out the end of the interview, I like to ask for, you know, your top action item. Somebody listens to this and they go do X. They listen to this and they go do Y. What's your top, most actionable thing that you drop?
This is very counterintuitive to like all of the marketing conversation, but the number one thing I think people aren't doing well is managing their time. They don't know what their time is worth. They don't know where they're spending it. They don't know why they're spending it on that. And they're not actually sure of what the ROI of that investment is. Time, energy, and effort are the only resources we cannot get back. So if you're wasting them on things like 10 hours of keyword research instead of actually having a 1 hour conversation with the business owner and recording it and then going and using the AI tools to transcribe it and give you the key things that you need to know from that conversation, you're wasting a lot of time. And you can't win it. You can't buy it from the store. You can't get it in a poker tournament. You don't get a box full of it Christmas morning. So I would say the number one thing anyone in any business, especially marketing, can do is, where are you spending your time? What is your time actually worth? And are you getting a return on that investment for the time you're spending?
Legit. Go ahead and shout out where people can find you if you're on a particular social channel and people want to chat at you and find your stuff and buy it.
I appreciate that. Number one thing they could do for me and for you, Jeremy, if they enjoyed this episode, share it on social media. I don't care which platform. Like, we all have our preferred platform. I'm typically on Facebook. That's where I've made the most money and met the most people that are in my audience. But whatever platform you're on, I am also on. We are omnipresent here at Call the Damn Leads. So share this episode. Tag at Call the Damn Leads, and that's going to do two things. One, it's going to let me and Jeremy know that our time invested today was worth it, because if just one person hears this and they get value out of it, that's why we do this kind of stuff. So it will mean a lot to both of us. And also, I'm in sales and follow-up, so if you tag us, it's going to send me a notification. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to ask you, hey, what made you decide to check out the show, and what was your big takeaway? That's going to be the most valuable thing that you can do. And then from there, callthedamnleads.com. We have hats, keychains, wristbands, t-shirts, all the sort of fun little sales swag that you would want to either motivate yourself or the team members that you have who are not calling those damn leads. And again, man, we're in the marketing world as much as we are in the sales world. So if you go to our website, you're going to see all of our ads and everything's going to pop up. And you're basically never going to not see my beautiful face after that. So you're welcome. And Jeremy, I just want to say thanks again for the opportunity, man. This has been a fun conversation and got to go into some topics that I don't normally get to talk about on a podcast. So unscripted was definitely a great way to put it.
Thank you, sir. See you around.
Yes, sir.